This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are joined once again by Chris Jacobson to talk about what he's been up to and give us a little tease about what we're going to be seeing at Emporium for his event coming up at the end of February. So let's do it. Let's jump into this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad, what's up? I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest returning once again.
Yeah, man, what? This is like your third trip on here.
I think it's my fourth.
Fourth trip, man. Solidarity, hardcore craft beer. Chris Jacobson, what's going on, man?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
Good to have you back here.
Yeah, dude, I love you guys. Happy, like, I love hanging out. And yeah, happy new beer, happy new year.
Happy
yeah.
new beer, happy new year.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, so it's been, oh, dude, my cup says Kawa fucking Bunga. That's
right, yeah.
Awesome.
We got Turtles cup. We yes. got Half Acre cups. We got a lot of different.
So, yeah, I like hanging out with you guys. I like drinking beer, talking beer, listening to you guys as much as possible when I'm thinking about something that I want, like, good spoken word.
Okay.
You know, when I'm not listening to Shatner. But, yeah.
And then I said, no, that was, I hear spoken word, I think poetry. Yeah, man, for those who who don't know, Chris does events, some pretty cool events. I've been to a few of your events. One of them is Dark Side coming up on the 26th, so we're going to get into that a little bit later.
25th.
February 25th. Okay. And we'll get into that a little later. So.
Oh, yeah, but before we do that, we're drinking this Madagascar from Four Hands that you brought. This is from what, 2014?
2014. They released it at the end of the year, if not like right at the beginning. So. This is actually, they just had the release this past Sunday for this year's stuff. And honestly, without like jumping too far into the event, Four Hands is a really good friend of mine. I've been down there a couple times. And this year we're actually going to, Madagascar is the only beer that taps first every year. Yeah, like okay. It totally blows. And so the keg kicks first. It doesn't blow. It's a really good beer. And then this year we actually have three different versions. This the regular version. But then we're the only people, this only event outside of the brewery that's actually getting two special kegs of variations that they released. So they have a Uganda version, so it's a coffee version. And then we also have a keg of their port barrel finish, so it's a double barrel Madagascar. And
oh, wow.
So I'm really looking forward to having those on.
Dude, I like double barrel, man. Double barrel starting to come in vogue. We're hearing that term a lot
now. That can be the theme of this year, double barrel?
You know, this is the early leader in the clubhouse for theme this year, man.
Double barrel fruited New England IPAs.
Pastry.
Pastry New England IPAs.
Madagascar vanilla beans aged in bourbon barrels from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Right? Aren't they from St.
Yeah.
Louis?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, they're like actually like a block away from the stadium down there.
Yeah.
And I went down a couple years ago and I met the owner. He like gave me a tour. I did private tasting. We tasted through all of their vintage stuff. I mean, the whole company is just fantastic. And the stories behind the building, everybody that works there, I'm really good friends with all the reps. Like everybody's just very hospitable. It's an awesome, like one of my favorite breweries now.
That's a town I haven't hit yet as a beer city, St. Louis. I've been as a kid. I've been in the Arch, mm-hmm. But have you been down there?
Yeah, I have. Good spots. Like they are spread out, so you kind of have to either have a designated driver or drive, or just somehow manage figure that out a little bit. So that's the only trouble, I think.
Yeah, Schlafly's, Perennials, and Side Projects, and all that jazz down there. Yeah.
Urban Chestnut.
Yeah. Right on, man.
But then we also have some Forbidden Root. We got the Strawberry Basil Blonde, or Basil Hefeweizen happening too. So we got to represent some Chicago beer here.
Hefe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll keep sipping on these, and we'll talk about our past week. Nick, what'd you hit up?
Man, I only went to one event. I went to Corridor
okay.
for the Squeeze It release. So Squeeze It is their DDH NEIPA. Only 104 packs. Brewery only release.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think this is like the second time.
Right. Did that, you go come out. To the last one or?
No. Oh, but you know, yeah, I was there that night. I didn't get any to go. I had it on draft.
Okay.
Yeah, and I really dug it. That's why I went back. I'm like, man, this is at Mimosa Haze. This is what I like. So, so yeah, I went. Have you guys had it?
I have not had it.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. I like the haze. I like the fresh local haze. It forces you to kind of go to the brewery to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And you otherwise probably wouldn't have gone, you know. So that parts of it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I always like going to Corridor. Like great food, great beer. So yeah. It's a good spot.
I've never been. But I also, the haze craze is kind of keep going on right now. Like, I know that, I think, like, Microphone does a lot of hazy IPAs and stuff. And I haven't been to Microphone yet either. Because I'm honestly kind of burnt out on hazy IPAs.
Burnt out? I love them, man. I haven't run through my cycle yet, man.
I'm like, okay, what else you got? You know?
Yeah. And we were saying how, like, in some cases, it reminds you of, like, you were talking about, like, homebrew. How homebrew's, like, big, flavorful, and cloudy. And some of them, when they're not that great, remind you of that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but when they're done right, I dig them, man.
Well, speaking of that, the weird thing about them is that if, like, there was a couple that I've had, and I've also tried brewing one or two of them.
Yeah.
It turns brown, like, real fast.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you don't usually see it in too many, like, commercial ones because they don't sit around long enough, but... Man, like, I think after a month, it starts turning a little bit more, like, mango color rather than just orange juice color.
I haven't noticed that or seen that happen.
I know. I mean, I actually would like to try, like, having a bottle of something, like, from Farmhouse? No. What am I thinking about?
You're talking about Hill Farmstead?
Hill Farmstead, thank you. And I would like to... almost kind of see what that would be like if, you know, you didn't open the bottle immediately once you got it.
Yeah.
Like just to compare.
For science.
Yeah, science.
I had one, like two or three weeks after I got the original at the brewery. And, yeah, it changes so fast, the haze. Yeah, this one was just clear and sugary. It didn't do the mango thing. It just got really clear, really sugary, no haze. It was pretty gross after, like...
Well, yeah, I've also seen that happen, too. Like, it just kind of drops out, and it just becomes, like, a clear IPA.
They just, like, separate it?
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, it changes quick. Yeah. Huh. So, it's a weird phenomenon. I dig it. Yeah, but that's about it. Oh, Corridor, they won a silver medal at Great American Beer Fest this year for their Trappel. Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Rapunzel, I think.
What kind of style?
Belgian triple. Belgian triple, yeah.
That's the name of it.
Like 9%, like 9%. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, funky place, man. The sister project to Dry Hop.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all I went to, man.
Let's see. The only stop I made this past week was over at On Tour. They're over by Goose Island and Great Central and that, I forget what they're calling it.
Not Malt Row. The Brewing District.
The Brewing District, that's right, yeah. Finch is over there as well. Just figured I'd stop in, have a beer. All their beer is always solid. Nick and I were talking about it earlier. Like, we haven't had bad beer, but we haven't had, like, beer that's, like, knock your socks off either. It's always good, safe, tasty. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
It's a nice bar. It's a good spot to hang out.
It's safe. It's clean.
I've kind of been running into that. A lot of places that I've been going to, though, like, and I mean, it's probably because I've been drinking thousands of beers over the last 10 years, but I mean, I was probably a little jaded too. But honestly, like, there's a lot of non-wow factor beers out there right now. I mean, and there's a lot of really bad beer too. And I'm not saying that everyone's brewing bad beer, but like, I've just kind of run into the fact that, like, I'm not blown away as much as I used to be. And again, like, it's because, you know, when you see something ridiculous so many times, it's not ridiculous anymore. Same thing with beer. Like, if you have a really good, well-made, you know, pastry stout, and then you have 14 others, you're just like, all right, so what's the next thing? And then, I don't know. I just kind of feel like I've run into that whole thought process before of, like, you know, it's good. You go for more of the atmosphere and, like, the experience rather than just, like, oh, they've got this, like, killer pale ale that's, like, knocks your socks off.
Right. Yeah. But I keep going back, so it must be doing something right. It's not like I'm like, I guess I'll go there. Like,
Is it local for you?
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's, like, a mile and a half, so it's not.
Right on. So, I mean, that's it, too. Like, it's proximity and the fact that it's really good and, you know, but it's not like you're going to – go 14 to 15 miles down the road and maybe in a snowstorm to go find
I wouldn't say Onto is a destination brewery, no.
But you're over there at all the other ones, you might as well.
Yeah, you're part of that district, yeah. And the other Barrel Run, they run shuttles over there now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it does stand out if you don't want to go to Goose, but if you have Great Central or Rise or All Rise, I think they stand out above those two.
Yeah, I think they Yeah, it's weird because I think they just make good beer, and that's it. Like, it's like no frills, and all you get is this beer. It'll be good. That's it. That's all you get.
Well, that's actually, I think what a lot of breweries these days could strive for is the fact that you've got something that's hitting, every time. Like, you don't necessarily need something that's knocking out of the park exceptional, but you want something that's going to be really good all the time rather than really good some of the time.
It's like me, when I go to festivals, I want to support local and I want to try new. And you feel shitty after you try one or two that kind of suck. And it's like, all right, my safe bet is Lagunitas. Like, all right, cool. I know I'm at this fest, but I'm just gonna drink.
You just go back.
I'm gonna have a round of Lagunitas. It's like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember having what was the Beer Hoptacular, did the homebrew competition. I happened to go to On Tour that day afterwards, and I was like, man. I didn't appreciate it before then. I'm like, man, I can really appreciate this island of safe.
Good I do beer. That all the time with Hamburger Mary's or the Anderson Valley one. I'm like, you know what? Let me try them again. See if they fix stuff.
You know, nope. I'm in that same boat, especially after beer festivals or beer competitions or something like that. I'm always just get home and it's like. Man, I could really go for a beer, but I just want a good, solid knock around, just sit down and know it's going to be good beer.
Yeah. I've been going for sours lately at home. You were talking about sours because you were hitting beer, you hit Beer Temple up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit up some sours. That's what I like lately at home. Like,
really?
I'll just crack open a sour. Yeah. Hmm. So.
Seems like a weird pick for at home.
What I was saying. I'm like, I don't know why. And then I ran low and I went and got the tool one with the one ton of Courant like you were talking about. And I was like, man, I'm at home. Let me whip something up and this is what I had. Yeah. Hmm. So, I don't know.
Yeah, usually at home, I want the safest pale ale or something like that. It's just I know this is gonna be good. I don't have to think about it. I just want a beer. I want something kind of sweet and light and just pass through the day or the night.
Yeah, just a good kick around. One of my go tos is Salamos Lou. I just had that on a draft in my house for a while, and it's just a great. I just want a beer, a beer. Kind of your dad's beer.
The
beer-flavored beer. Yeah, it's really hard to go wrong, and it kind of goes with just about anything. Yeah. I mean, dinner, after dinner.
We've had that on the show before, the Lou.
It's really good.
Solid stuff, yeah.
So those are a couple stops. How about you, Chris? Do you make it anything? Or besides the stop at Beer Temple, which you hadn't been to the new tap room,
No, I hadn't been to the new tap room. I really like it. It's really... well put together. I've known Chris Quinn for a couple of years, and I've known him to be a very good entrepreneur and someone who strives to always do something different. And being able to open that up, I thought it was really cool that he went to that length to actually do that, and also to add to his bottle shop. And I thought it was pretty neat space.
You can tell he cares. Mm-hmm. When you're in there, you could tell this place was done with love. People give a fuck about what's going on.
Yeah, he didn't just let's put a bar in here. It was actually well thought out, and the decor. I mean, all of the bottles and stuff, all over the walls is pretty neat too. And it's a nice cozy atmosphere, without being most of the breweries that you walk in. I'm actually it's not a brewery, but most of the breweries and bars that you walk in these days, it's metal and wood and concrete and industrial.
We're talking about
soulless
metal. just metal Clive music.
Yeah. Clybourne is the worst of that. Oh.
It's the same thing over and over and over again. I went to Only Child up Gurnee.
Yeah.
Fun time. I enjoyed the space, but it was exposed phosphorus lighting. It was black metal.
Aesthetically, it's like you've seen this brewery 20 times.
Metal Monkey. I don't remember. They're Romeoville or something there.
Yeah. I've been there.
Same thing. Yeah. I mean, it's the same fucking formula everywhere. And it's not that it's bad. It's just I would be more blown away if I walked in and it looked like a Japanese spa. I'd be like, now this shit's different.
But I wonder, somewhere in Romeoville, a lot of those people don't always make it out to some of these other breweries, so it's like, oh, that might be their first experience of it too. So yeah, it's like, oh, this is, now you know what to expect, I guess.
Well, yeah, and then when you walk into every other brewery, like, yeah, hey, they're like stealing from whatever. Yeah. Like, wait a minute, but Floyd's has been doing it for, you know, 10, 20 fucking years. So. Yeah. That's a good pour there, sir.
I know, man. I wanted to pour it in here. I probably should have. We opened up the second beer that Chris brought. This was a Belgian triple from Meester. Meester's over in Belgium somewhere. It's Belgian craft beer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not really much I know about it other than it scores high and it's artisanal.
And you were saying something about what was your connection to that? I thought you said it had something tied into work somehow.
Yeah, so I not only am I connected in beer and then like do event production stuff, but yeah, I'm also a beer consultant, and then I'm also a graphic designer. And so all of that stuff kind of works together. Like everybody gets in bed and snuggles. Yeah. So yeah. This is actually a client of mine. As an importer out of Michigan, and I just put together like a quick lookbook, like, you know, a quick portfolio for him. And so I also do product photography. So I got a couple of bottles from him for this lookbook, took photos, got it all sexified, and then put the book together. And then I had the beers, and like I figured, might as well start jumping into them because, you know, I'm doing all this work all day, and then by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, I'm like, I could really use a beer.
Yeah.
So I figured before I jumped into them all, I would bring one of them to open up with you guys and
right on, man.
See how it goes.
I can dig it.
Awesome.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it looks decent as far as color goes. It's definitely quad-esque, but I'm very curious as to diving into it. First thoughts?
Oh, man.
It smells like Blanaba, banana.
Oh, you know, because bananas weren't in bananas didn't make it to Belgium until like 1920s, right? So I wonder how people would describe, because that's a common trait in Belgian beers, mm-hmm, is like, yeah, banana clove. I wonder like what they would use to describe it. You know, before 1920, that came up one time. That's totally
really?
Totally I random. I know that, but yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I learned something new today. I could go to sleep now.
They probably just say like it smells like vacation or something. Yeah. I don't know. It smells like
tropical island.
The coast or something, yeah.
So Chris, man, you're a graphic designer. You do these cool parties. I'm trying to think of some of the other events you've done. Like, cause we did a party together once at Chicago Craft Beer Week at on the rooftop at Reggie's.
Yeah.
That event.
That
over
event
the summer.
That was brutality.
Brutality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brutality. Yeah. But yeah, you've done when I first met you, you were doing events with Stone. And then but then what was the event series where you guys had the, you know, there was spices and there were like these beer creations you were making on the spot. Was there a name for that series?
Yeah, I called that the Hardcore Press.
Okay.
That was actually kind of something that I did to help educate the consumers on what adjuncts will do to beer. And for the people that aren't familiar with that, it's basically I would take pre-existing beer and then I would put it into French presses with different spices. So it'd be cocoa, vanilla, lime zest, or orange peel, or just whatever I would have. I mean, I'd have anything between like 16 to 20 something different types of spices. And it was supposed to show people what kind of cask beer would be like on a small scale. So instead of doing 5 gallons at a time, you're only doing 12 ounces, and you can do it at home. And so you could basically, if you didn't get Bourbon County coffee, you can essentially make it yourself just by steeping it for 5 minutes or whatever. That also helped people to understand, like, even though the beer isn't brewed with these spices, you could still say like, oh, that's what lemongrass tastes like in beer. And like, so when you're drinking an IPA and it's like, oh, this seems a little, it's got some lemongrass kind of flavor to it. So that was kind of like the whole purpose behind that. And we did that at just like random events just for fun. We also did it for some private parties. We actually had a couple of companies that hired us to do it for taste test and demo to like kind of see what their next beer was going to be.
Okay.
So yeah, that was kind of a fun thing.
Turned into like full on R&D for some companies. I remember you were telling me like the one party in Hoffman States, people went really nuts over it. And then you had the collab with Cletus when he was a Fountainhead.
Yeah, we used to do the eight beery nights thing. So
yeah, eight beery
nights. It was pretty much, instead of having like an entire firkin for eight different beers, we just kind of did it all on the spot. which, you know, that was, it's a lot of prep work, but, you know, some people, you can order your beer and you can get it, you know, spiked or augmented right there on the spot without having to, like,
put
together. I do remember that event. I remember going to either that one or one like it or showed up at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, we did like 2 or 3 years in a row. Hmm. So that was a pretty good time. Yeah. But yeah, I've done a lot of different things all over the place. One of my first ones was actually up at Firkin in Libertyville. It was right called on. Locale. That place, we packed that place full of people and and beers.
Met Dick Cutler up there for the first time at Firkin in Libertyville.
Yeah, I've run into that.
The Cutler's dad.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes that you just like kind of see everywhere and randomly. So yeah, I've done that, and then Dark Side has actually been the only one that I've done annually since the beginning.
Yeah, all dark beers. They could probably get like 25 or so taps every winter. Proper winter event. We talk about proper winter events. This would be one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on a Sunday. It steers clear of most other things. Actually, recently, the whole Uppers and Downers thing has kind of started taking place on the Saturday right before the event.
Oh, yeah.
So last year, we actually had a lot of people that went to Uppers and Downers the day before and then came out to us the next day.
I love those kind of weekends, man. I can remember back when I was growing up, like, you know, first FOBAB. FOBAB would be the Saturday, and then the next day was Map Room's 20th anniversary every year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that kind of weekend where it's like, you know, something special the whole weekend. That's cool.
Yeah, it gives you plans. It gives you something to do, so you're not sitting around the next day like, so now what do I do with my life?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think, and I don't think it's really a deterrent either, because I think, you know, with what they're doing, because they do have the coffee roasters and the vendors out.
And it's all, like, straight coffee beers, right?
It's all straight coffee beers. Right. So you have coffee and then the coffee beers, or as, like, you know, what we like to try to showcase is just dark beers. Because so many people still don't know about, like, what dark beers really are. And they think, like, oh, Guinness. I don't really like Guinness. But there's a lot of other dark beers out there that, you know, there's so much you can do with them, like, especially with all these pastry stouts that are coming out. But we also have some dark sours. And we've got, like, porters and I think some, like, black IPAs we've had in the past. And there's so many different things out there. And so this just kind of gives you a nice spectrum. And then we also pair it with video games, and it's right, you know, it's at the end of like football season, so nothing's going on.
Kind of a dead zone for stuff.
Absolutely.
It's true. Yeah, we're all just counting down until you know, pitchers and catchers report to spring training. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are you excited about on this year's list, man? On this year's tap list for
other than the Four Hands Madagascar variants, which I mean, I think those are gonna kill, because
it's impressive, man. Because like Victory to See from Ballast Point's always there. There's always a cool BCS variant on. Always some fun stuff on. And Madagascar always kicks first.
Always. Yeah, we're going to have proprietors, 2017 proprietors. We'll have a 2016 regular Bourbon County brand. We're also going to have Abraxas from Perennial.
Right.
We'll have Founders CBS. So for anybody who missed out on trying that, that'll be there.
Did you try it in bottles?
I tried it in bottles and on drafts.
All right.
Yeah.
Same to you, different? Just wondering.
What's that?
Did you same experience for both for you?
No, actually, the one out of the bottle was a little bit, it was less sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Than the draft was, and at least in my opinion.
All right, cool.
Man, I think we're going to talk about CBS for like every episode.
Like, you guys, it just kind of keeps showing up places. Let's see, what else is there? There's we have a couple of things from Oxbow. We got some stuff from Central State. We also have some, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of starting to draw a blank here, but like,
yeah, I'll pull up the list.
There's a decent amount of really good beer on there that I have been really excited about. We've got Half Acre Big Hugs.
Right.
We have Salamoth's Most Important Beverage of the Day.
That's the one that's got the that's the sweet stout with like
orange peel and like coffee I think orange peel and coffee.
Right on.
So there's like a really good smattering of stuff. We're gonna have Tart of Darkness from Brewery.
Cool.
So it's a really good like showing that there's like good dark sours out there too. Well, it's actually a sour stout, so we'll have a good sour stout.
It's weird. I had one of those before.
Sour stout?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not ready. It's too advanced for me. I'm gonna try it again at Dark Side. But the first time I had it, it was too advanced for me. Who did that to me? Somebody did that to me. The name escapes me of the brewery, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was the guy, the crew from San Francisco.
21st Amendment?
No. They make, like, the weird sour stuff. Never mind.
The weird sour stuff.
I didn't mean to bring it
from
up.
From San Francisco.
They're from San Francisco. They do a lot of barrel stuff. What's the name of that crew? Oh, it's going to drive me nuts now. Yeah, sour stout.
Okay.
But yeah. But anyway, man. Right on. So you buy $30 in advance, $40 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with tokens for beer, and it comes for video game tokens, too.
Yes.
Right on.
Yeah. This year, I think, like, the first 200 and something people are going to get, like, you know, a swag bag with button and stickers and stuff like that. This is actually our sixth year, so, you know, we're trying to focus a little bit more on the beer rather than just, like, all of the random other stuff. So we've actually been putting together this list for a couple of months now, and I'm really excited for what we have. And we actually have so much beer that we also have, like, excellent stuff for when beers kick. We'll have just as good stuff coming on. So we're going to have a lot of really good stuff, so. It's definitely not going to be something to pass over and just be like, I'll go to next year or whatever, because next year is going to probably be different too.
And if you don't get the ticket for the swag bag and tickets and token, you show up and buy beer as you go, or is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'll get tickets and tokens regardless. So anybody who shows up, and honestly, like getting the $10 discount, getting it online previously is a huge help. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, saving $10, who doesn't want to save $10? So, yeah, you also have the opportunity to purchase full pours if you want. So anything that you really, really like. I mean, honestly, you get 8 samples, but everything's, like, over 10%. So,
okay.
I mean, it's, like, nearly...
Yeah, kick your butt.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's ever left there complaining.
That Coconut Jones dog from Pipeworks is jumping out at me. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Cool.
Right on, man. So that's at the end of the month, the 25th, at the original Chicago Emporium, the one in Wicker Park.
Yeah, Wicker Park, 1366.
Nice.
Right on.
So then what about this weekend? As we lead up to that, everyone should get tickets, you know, save those $10. But what about this weekend, Nick? Anything?
Yeah, for sure.
Check it out.
On Saturday the 3rd, if you haven't been to Low Res yet down in Pilsen, they're having a pozole cook-off, whatever pozole is. Not sure what that is. But they are doing this scotch ale release. It's a guajillo and chipotle pepper scotch ale. Chipotle pepper scotch ale.
Chipotle.
I love that chipotle pozole.
What is pozole, man? I still haven't figured it out yet.
I don't know. You said there's a picture of a spoon.
There's a spoon with some stuff on it. I don't know.
Maybe it's a calzone that you eat with a spoon.
But it's a slow week, man. It's Super Bowl week.
Right. It is Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week, man. So not a whole lot going on.
I think this is the earliest I've ever been on this show. I'm usually like the week of
Dark Side.
That's and so there's true. A lot more going on.
Yeah.
And so I'm like what is happening like right now? But nothing's
sure.
really happening.
There's
next week, I think, is next week or 2 weeks from now is it might get dark at Fountainhead.
Okay.
Which
that's an annual one.
Yeah, this is their 8th year doing it, I think.
Oh, shit.
So I've been there a couple of times. That was actually I ran into you at that one time.
Yeah. I feel like, and we talked about it last week, wintertime is when it's a good time for, like, if you don't want to go to one of these breweries that opened up that look just like 10 that you've seen already, is go visit some of these places that got you into beer. Fountainhead was that for me, Beer Bistro. We talked about like that. Mm-hmm. Hop Leaf.
Yeah, Hop Leaf has their Super Bowl event.
Yeah,
this
Hop
weekend.
Leaf's doing Super Stout Sunday again.
So, they have no TVs there.
Which I dig about Hop Leaf. There's no TVs. It's a noon start. They'll have the Super Stout Chili as well. And they got some heaters up there, prop. Triple barrel Batista, this sorts of thing.
Triple, but that's beyond double barrel.
That's beyond double barrel. Beyond double barrel, man.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, because so I haven't had, I think, actually, no, I think I have had that one. That was not that bad. I really like that one.
Yeah, the D-Star Cherry. That sounds interesting.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have that, too. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and Cruz Blanca, man. Cruz Blanca's got an Imperial Stout blended in rum, brandy, and bourbon barrels with choco chocolate and toasted coconut.
Cool.
Sounds like a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I never go to Cruz Blanca.
No, yeah. We were talking earlier, like, always good to it seems like a good option, and then you just don't go.
And then you just don't go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's all I got, man. That's all I got for events this week.
So a few events, and then I see you have like a whole page of beer news here. So we should dive into that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Rate Beer, man. Rate Beer's Best Brewers in the World list came out this week. Okay. Man. Yeah.
Best brewers
in the world from the good folks at Rate Beer. We won't go through everything, man. But let's maybe go through the brewers in the Midwest. Is that
and let's see if we agree.
Let's see what's going on here. Okay. Yeah, we'll start. Let's say Iowa, right? The best beer, Toppling Goliath Kentucky Brunch. Best new brewer in Iowa.
Well, there's not really much in Iowa.
Other than Toppling Goliath, man. Wisconsin, best beer was New Glarus, Serendipity. Best new brewery was Untitled Art. Okay. Untitled Art. They've got collabs with Microphone and Hailstorm.
Serendipity was the best beer in Wisconsin?
I would say false. But
according to Rate Beer.
It's good, but if you just started drinking beer... It's really good.
Serendipity is the one that tastes like a blow pop, right?
Yeah.
They do fruited beer as well.
They do.
They got a whole bunch of them.
It's a 750 format, at least one of the last times I saw it.
I think they might have dropped some of those down into 12-ounce bottles now because they realize people do not want to drink a 750 milliliter bottle of sugar.
Sure. Yeah.
And people don't share as much as they used to. So.
Yeah.
I had a strawberry rhubarb, and this year's version way less jammy and tart than the old ones.
Okay.
So they're changing a little bit. But yeah, you're right, small bottles. Indiana, no surprise here, bourbon, vanilla, Dark Lord from Floyd's, best beer. Best new brewery, 4 Day Ray in Indiana.
Four Day Ray Brewing. Never heard of them.
Yeah.
4 Day Ray. I kind of want to know what the name
I'm curious. It's kind of cool, you know. In Michigan, Bourbon Barrel Aged Expedition Style from Bell's, best beer.
Okay.
Best new brewery, Speciation Artisan Ales.
Okay. Never heard of them.
All right. And Illinois, no surprises here. Best beer, Bourbon County Stout. Best new brewery, Winer.
They do make some pretty good stuff.
Fantastic stuff, man. I'm a big fan of Meow. We've had their beers a couple times on the show. Yeah. Been down to the plant. Love everything they do. Approachable barrel aged French.
Yeah,
Belgian style.
I had their, Pounce is like their barrel aged Kolsch. I was like, why the fuck would you barrel age a Kolsch? But that's really good.
Yeah.
Fun stuff, man. Best beer, Bourbon County. This knowing that the Expedition Stout was on there, I feel like someone looked at a list of like these are the highest rated beers.
Yeah, because I think that was the highest. Those are like that some of the top rated beers in Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine, and like both of those beers are on there.
So.
Like, your report's due at noon.
I guess
shit.
It is coming from Rate Beer, so it's the rated beers, but.
I guess.
Yeah, it's like a accumulation of, like, ratings and all that jazz.
Yeah, but it all feeds into each other, right? Like, somebody, this beer's supposed to be good, so I have to agree with this. Otherwise, I am now an outsider, and I... But I like beer, so I have to think it's good too, right?
Yeah, I know what that would be an outsider. Come on.
This is technical stuff here, guys. I'm reading the criteria. It's based on 10 different weighted scales that place an emphasis on reviews of the past year and top performing beers that includes historical all around performance. This is a serious business, guys.
Historical all around performance.
I'm not.
Are we talking about beer or porn stars here?
All right, last bit of news on the Rate Beer, best beers in the world, man. Oh, Illinois, in the top 100, Illinois had 4 breweries.
Okay.
So that was cool. Actually, Chicago had 4 breweries. Goose Pipe Works, Rev, and Half Acre.
Okay.
Wow. All in the top 100, so congrats to them. Half Acre, man. I like those guys.
I've actually been hearing a lot about Dovetail.
Yeah, beer people love Dovetail. Regular people don't really like them.
They're straight up German style.
Yeah, it's like... It is beer.
It is beer flavored beer. But you know, there, I tell you, man, I had their, I saw them at an event downtown and I was like, dude, when did you start making a Hef? He's like, that's not our Hef, man. And I was like, that's our lager. It's like, they really put an emphasis on like big, flavorful, old German style.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go check them out.
It was fantastic. I'm like, damn, this is great for a fucking lager.
All right. So you have like a big divide if you go to over there and you go to Beguile and Dovetail. Like, it is a different crowd completely, unless. Beguile closes and everyone just goes over to Dovetail because they're open an hour later. But otherwise, it's like a beer group at Dovetail, and Beguile has more casual drinkers, people from the neighborhood, it seems like more.
Okay, good to know. Fair enough.
Yeah. Ballast Point, who's opening a brewery in West Loop later this year, also announced they're opening a brewery at Disney World.
Yeah.
So a three-barrel system with a beer garden, a tasting room, 7,000 square feet, Brad, at Disney World.
I think people in Chicago are going to just snub their nose at this brewery.
Yeah, man. They're coming to West Loop, the best the restaurant destination in the whole city, with a brewery from California. California beers, man.
I think Chicago people are just going to be, nope, no thanks.
We already saw that. We saw that with Lagunitas.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously people, I've been to the facility. Everybody likes going there. I mean, it's a cool place, but honestly, like, you've got another, it's basically a Me Too attitude. And it's not bad. It'll be, I mean, cool to have another brewery per se, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be as like banging as.
But they have like a three-barrel system, right?
Yeah, well, that's in and that'll probably be the same here. But yeah, that's in Disney World.
We don't know if they're gonna have food probably, but what kind of food? Is it just gonna be like bar food?
It's probably, I guess, like Ballast Point opening here in 2018 is kind of like California Pizza Kitchen opening. You know what I mean? In West Loop,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's the 2018 version of that, where it's like, yeah, California Pizza Kitchen's fine. I like their fettuccine, but
I know we talked about it. A while ago, but there was that whole like debacle where their parent company was donating a lot of money to like Paul Ryan and Republican Party in Michigan. So you may see a lot of people in Chicago be like, no, not going to support this.
Beer and politics.
Yeah.
So we'll see, man. Finally, a little bit of news, man. San Francisco Beer Week. That's one of those events I always wanted to go to. It's happening February 9th through the 18th. Oh, but Emporium has a San Francisco location now. Emporium that started here in Chicago. And they're going to have a Chicago tap take overnight for San Francisco Craft Beer Week. Yeah, so Hatfaker, Hopewell, Pipeworks, and Off Color all on tap in San Francisco.
Nice.
Next week, man, or in 2 weeks.
So. Cool. And then I also saw that Cigar City.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's coming to town.
Cigar City, man.
You know, you blowing the top off of things and getting everybody excited.
You know, so that's Florida, right?
Yeah, so this, is this the one that actually cracks through? Like, we mentioned Stone earlier, and that kind of faded away, and other breweries kind of come into Chicago and just kind of don't stand up sometimes.
Yeah, I remember Speakeasy kind of came and went, and I'm not saying Cigar City and Speakeasy are the same, but a lot of brands make a big splash, and then that's it. It just kind of fizzles out.
Well, you got to make a big splash, but the problem is that you're already coming into what's a saturated market.
Right.
I mean, same thing with Ballast Point opening up. You're just like, okay, well, your beer's been here forever, and you're going to open up a location. It's just like whoopty shit.
Yeah, where you can go, we can go to Whole Foods. It's stacked sky high at Whole Foods right now.
Yeah, I mean, all your beers. I'm going to go visit, but it's not going to be like I'm going to be banging on the doors waiting for you to open. But
you might get it 2 weeks fresher. What's the difference other than that?
Not in their three-barrel system. They're just brewing like a one-off beers there. That's all show.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Which could be fun, too.
That might be good.
That's like Goose Island having stuff at the United Center. It's all show. Don't.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give Ballast Point any credit on that. But Cigar City.
I do like Cigar City stuff. I do like, Hunapu.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. We're not going to be seeing Marshall Zukov or Hunapu or Moat Water or whatever. We're not going to see those beers here. Stuff. We're not going to see all the cool stuff. We're going to see, like, Maduro. We're going to, High Lie. And
the Cuban, what's the one? The Brown Ale, the Cuban Brown
Ale. The Cubano, Maduro, whatever. Like, yeah, we're going to see that stuff. We're going to see all the cans. We're not going to see the big stuff. I mean, why the hell would they ship that here?
Yeah, somebody brought up a good point. Like, if they throw killer parties with the good stuff and do a constant stream of that, then they'll make the turn and have a stand.
But does High Life make it into, like we were talking about, beer you just have at home? Is that one you may be like, well, I'll grab a six pack of High Life?
I don't know. I honestly, like, I've had it a couple times and I enjoy it. But I mean, that's what, an IPA. Like, you can get so many freaking good IPAs fresher here than you would out of a can that was just shipped up here from Florida. And I mean, honestly, I think if anything from them that I'd be excited about would be their brown ale. I mean, because not too many people are doing brown ales, A. Right. B, not too many people are doing really well brown ales. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do. I mean, obviously, when they come in, they're going to make a big splash like everybody else did. But then we'll just, honestly, like, this market's so saturated and everything is so, everything's just like, there's so much crap everywhere. So you can only buy so much.
You can't. I mean, it's got to be the most competitive market in the country. You
know, it is. We're getting huge.
Stuff. We're in the middle of the country. We get stuff from everywhere. I don't see this playing out, but we'll see.
I want to know, kind of like, we all know Cigar City because we've been in the beer scene for a long time, but what about someone that got in a couple years ago and is just learning about it and maybe still on Chicago and local stuff, and Cigar City isn't even like, they don't know why it's cool or why people talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, when it comes here, it's not even going to register to them.
Oh, probably not. I mean, they're going to probably see it, and then it's not even going to phase them because they're going to pass over it.
And go to the new Pipeworks release.
Right.
Or the Half Acre.
Something that's a little bit more colorful or something that they know what they're looking for. Because if you walk into a Benny's right now, you have a wall of stuff. And if you don't know what you're looking at, it doesn't faze you. It's all colors. It's all a blur. And until you finally find like that Lizard King can that you've been looking for, you're like, that's it. Okay, I'm out of here.
Or you give up and you're like, I'll take Goose IPA.
Yeah. 3-1-2.
Forget it.
I'm out.
I can't decide.
I will say this though, man. They're on Windy City. You know, Windy City has all the cool beers, all the cool kid beers. And this all falls on them. If they can push it, then it'll be. The only reason I say it is because I work downtown, and every bar I go to, 9 out of 10 taps is all Windy City taps. So Windy City's out there pushing it as the beer to have.
But are those Chicago beers?
Or no. Oh, okay. You know, Windy's bringing like, you know, well, the Lagunitas would be the big one, but they're bringing all the, you know, the Left Hands and, you know, a lot of anything from like California or Colorado. That's all coming in from Windy City. So. I mean, I don't know. If they push it, it'll be around, but...
Yeah, well, and I think that they're going to. I mean, especially, you know, in the beginning, there'll be tap takeovers and introductions and stuff like that, so...
They are on the... their Cigar City, they got bought. They're part of that collective now with Oscar Blues and Perrin from Michigan. They're all under the same collective. Oscar Blues bought both those breweries, and the Big Squatters, the big brewery in Utah, so... I mean, so you're going to see, you know, wherever you see Oscar Blues, you're going to see this beer. This is all the same crew.
Where do you see Oscar Blues?
House of Blues is the only place I can think of. When I'm there, I go Tall Boy Dale's all day. But that's really the only place I do that.
It's good beer.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. Like Mama Jella Pills, are you checking for Mama Jella Pills? Are you checking for,
no.
Do you even know Oscar Blues IPA? I think this falls kind of.
The IPA is just called
IPA. It's just called Oscar Blues IPA. I think this is going to, this will probably end up being that.
Right.
Yeah. To us, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That's it for news, man.
Then that's going to do it for Chicago Beer Pass.
Wow. That's actually the shortest episode I've ever been on. usually, like, I'm pushing out, like, an hour 20.
I think that was the last time where we had the real, like, marathon sessions. And this was probably – might have been in the old studio, too, right?
No.
It was here?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. Well, actually, every time I've been on, it's actually gone a little late because I'm like, wow, like, we can talk.
Yeah, because I remember we would always go an hour with guests. And I think lately we've been shrinking it. It's been shrinking down to the 40s, 40 slot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also helps that there's like nothing going on. There's not really a whole lot.
There was only two events this week.
Yeah.
Not a whole slew.
I'm probably going to be lined up early for that prop. I'm not going to lie to you.
At Hop Leaf.
Yeah. I got an unhealthy obsession with that beer.
the latest prop?
The latest prop. Yeah.
The Bananas Foster?
Yeah.
See, I did actually a tasting of all of them.
Yeah.
One night, and it was we did all six. And Bananas Foster was really good. It was actually better. Like I took it out of the fridge while we did the second to last beer, which that was the last beer. So it warmed up a little bit because there's so many minute flavors in that beer that don't come out when it's that cold. And it's so much better when it reaches about that 45, 50 degree temperature.
Okay.
And honestly, out of all of the beers, the one that disappointed the most was the barley wine because they don't do the barley wine like they used to anymore. So original Bourbon County barley wine was done in spent BCS barrels. just like King Henry was with the rare.
That's right. Now they're like fresh
barrel. So now it's just fresh barrel. Yeah. So it's just a barrel-aged barley wine instead of BCS barrel-aged barley wine. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic of it is completely thrown out the window. And honestly, like, that's what I loved about that beer. Now that it's gone, it's kind of a bummer.
Well, there is the other barley wine floating around.
Oh, the one
that didn't release.
Yeah, Barley Wine Reserve, they were calling it, but then it didn't meet taste standards, so they recalled. They didn't recall it. They canceled it.
Yeah.
It was bottled.
It's infected. What?
If you find, there are bottles and people who have them out there. So.
Yeah.
I imagine you could get enough of what it was supposed to taste like, even though it didn't get released. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and honestly, out of all of the ones that was released, like the one beer out of all six variations that they have that really spoke to me was the Reserve. Like the Reserve.
BTS. Really? We were talking about Reserve in the pre-show. I'm like, man, I want to try this Reserve again.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Right. I've had it on draft and I've had it out of a bottle. And honestly, like it's one of those beers that it's so fantastic now that I wouldn't hold on to it. Like, I've got a couple of them, and I'm trying to find good times and good people to open them with, because it's one of those beers that will not get better with age. Like
this is it.
This is really good. Like, if you want to hang on to it and let it, like, you know, change and get a little weird, then you can do that. Yeah. But now, I mean, you've got, like, a really good flavor, like the base beer. You've got the barrel character really comes through. You get vanilla. You get like a really good amount of oak. You get some roast and some fantastic cocoa. And then at the end, you get like all of those flavors combined to give you like a little bit of a marshmallow ending. And the whole thing is just a great experience. And so that's something so good.
We recorded from Goose. We recorded from the Barrel Warehouse. We had it and we were like, man, I don't know, maybe in this lineup, since we've had them all together, I don't know if this one's jumping out at me. But I want to give it another chance because I do like the barrel that it was in, Knob Creek. I love that whiskey. And this is a Knob Creek 11-year anniversary barrels versus regular or original BCS Heaven Hill barrels. So I'm curious. I want to give it another try. Cause
it's so good. If I would have known that, I would have brought one. Sorry.
Nick will get it. He has like
all I guess I'm going back next week.
Unless you want to come back next week and drink Preserve, then I guess
I can do that. Open invitation. I'm here.
Well, awesome. Well, Chris, where can people find you, learn more about the event, Emporium?
HardcoreCraftBeer.com, honestly. That's like the major one. You can find us on Facebook, also Hardcore Craft Beer. Instagram, if you know, to get the full story. I love Instagram right now. So Hardcore Craft Beer on that one, too. Solidarity_shy with CHI on Twitter, but I never tweet. I can't stand Twitter anymore. So don't follow me on Twitter. but yeah, that's it.
How about you, Nick?
I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Fest is on all of these. We talked about our Instagram quite a bit all the time, posting photos there. We enjoy that as well. And the website, chicagobeerpass.com, everything gets posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube version, but we didn't do video this week.
Where's your camera, man?
I know. I actually got all pretty today because I'm like, I'm going to be on camera.
Got the camera. I even got a new light bulb for the light that we broke the other week.
Oh, but so you don't have the rest of it?
Well, no, I do, but I didn't put it up. Okay. And we didn't have the camera, so it didn't matter.
That's true. Yeah.
You're denying your listeners.
I know. They need to see us.
They need to see it.
Next week.
Good thing I didn't bring my props.
Yeah. Next week, camera, video.
Chris Jacobson. Thanks, man. That was fun.
Yeah. Cheers.
Hey, cheers.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.